The first reading is from Psalms chapter 86, verses 11 through 17. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seek my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Word of God, word of life. The second reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, they're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation in itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, but who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, and it's two sections with a break in the middle where we skip some verses. The first half is a parable from Jesus, one of those teaching stories that we talk about so often. And then the second half is a later addition that Matthew put in trying to explain the parable. Because, you know, parables can be a little uncomfortable with their open-endedness. And so Matthew tried to squeeze it into an easier box to understand. But that box has a lot of problems. So just so you know, I'm going to be focusing on Jesus's parable in my sermon. So our gospel reading comes from Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. And while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then here we skip a few verses, which we'll pick up next week. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. When Brett and I bought our first house, one of the things we were most excited about was being able to garden. And so Brett took over a space in the backyard for a vegetable garden, and I adopted all of the landscaping that the previous owners had put in the front of the house and along the sides of the house. And the previous owner had planted a lot of plants in the landscaping, all kinds. I didn't even recognize most of them. And so when it came time to start weeding, I realized a problem. I really wasn't sure which plants were weeds and which ones weren't. So I called up my dad, Mr. Green Thumb, and he came up to Blair, where we were living, and helped me. And my dad was great. He taught me the names of most of the plants, and he told me how to care for them. But what I remember most about his help is the advice that he gave me about weeds. He said, "A weed is any plant that you don't want growing there." "Do you like it?" he asked. "Do you want it here? If not, it's a weed. Pull it out." And it turned out that my most annoying weeds at that house had been planted by the previous owner. And I don't remember the name of the plant, but I remember that she loved them because she planted them by the mailbox, on the side of the driveway, the side of the house, in the back, in flower beds, everywhere. And no matter how hard I worked at digging them up, they just grew back. See, I didn't like them. I didn't want them there. So to me, they were weeds. Obviously, different people have different opinions and different definitions of what is a weed, which is why I think it is such good news to hear in today's gospel that it's not up to us and all of our various opinions to sort out the weeds from the wheat. "Let them grow together," says the master. "Let them grow together until the harvest." This parable from Jesus teaches us that only God can sort out the weeds from the wheat. Only God can sort out the good from the bad. We often can't even tell the difference. We disagree on what is a flower and what is a weed. We disagree on what is pleasing to God and what isn't. On who is good and who is bad. But this parable reminds us that it is not our job to sort out the wheat from the weeds. In this parable, Jesus teaches us that we are not reapers, we are not harvesters, we are seeds. In other words, we are not the ones responsible for sorting through all the good and evil in this world. We are not called to judge one another. Instead, we are seeds. We are seeds created and planted by God, and our purpose is to grow. No matter what good or bad we seem to have around us, we are meant to grow, to keep growing every day, growing into the children of the kingdom, growing into who we are meant to be. We're meant to grow into people who share the love of God with others, people who care for the sick and feed the hungry. We're meant to grow into people who speak out on behalf of the outcast and the downtrodden. We are meant to be people who tend and care for God's good creation. See, none of us are perfect, but with every generous, kind, and caring choice we make, we grow. With every healing, nurturing action, we grow. Whenever we refuse to participate in gossip, we grow. When we're kind to someone who's not kind to us, we're growing. When we donate money to help care for those in need, we are growing. When we speak out against injustice, even though it's uncomfortable, we are growing. When we recycle, when we care for our elders, when we show love to children, when we welcome the stranger, we are growing. With every step we take in Christ's footsteps, we are growing. Growing into our identity as children of God. Now, all of that growing is not easy. There are weeds all around us, and there are weeds within us. Spite, greed, racism, sexism, cruelty, hatred, selfishness. And the truth is, weeds are powerful. They can choke and they can kill. So how can we have the strength to grow in the midst of all these weeds? Weeds in the world and weeds within our hearts. Well, the world would tell us that there is no point. The weeds are too strong. But we are promised that this difficult struggle of growing is not pointless, because in the end, God will take us and perfect us, separating out the good from the bad. When Jesus speaks of the harvest, he's referring to that promise that there will come a day when God will sort through all the messiness of this life and will pull out the weeds of all that is evil and hurtful. And this is not a threat. This is a promise that everything will be set right in the end. In the parable Jesus tells, the burning of the weeds is a cleansing. It's getting rid of that which harms, which does not feed. It's similar to that metaphor in other places in Scripture of the refiner's fire, right? Where it's not an image of punishment, but of perfecting that which God has made. God will take us and perfect us. And perfect all of creation, burning away all that is hurtful and sinful and selfish and cruel. We are promised that in the end, there will be no more weeds, no more weeds in us or around us, no more suffering, no more corruption, no more pain. The garden will be just as God intended it to be. And in the meantime, it is our job to grow. That doesn't mean going through life turned in on ourselves, only worrying about self-actualization and just waiting for Christ's return for the world to get better. Because you see, growing is a big deal. growing into the children of God, into who we were created to be, means serving and caring and loving one another, sharing our resources, being disciples of Christ. And growing can be very powerful. In the middle of our gospel, in those verses that we skipped, verses 31 to 35, Jesus tells a parable of the kingdom of God as a mustard seed, and a parable about the kingdom of God as yeast. And we'll hear those next week. But the kingdom of God as a mustard seed and the kingdom of God as yeast is both examples of two very small things that grow and that impact what is around them. The seed becomes a plant offering shade and shelter, and the yeast lifts up the dough to make bread to feed the hungry. See, all they do is grow, but they make a difference. They change the world. You and I are seeds. All we do is grow. But we can change the world because we are seeds sown by God. And every little inch of our growth is used by God to build up the kingdom, to grow God's garden. And God will take all of our best and our worst efforts at serving. God will take all of that and use it. God will use it to transform the world, to make life-giving bread from this weed-covered field. See, the good news is that you and I are seeds. All we do is grow. But by the grace of God, in growing, the world will be changed. Thanks be to God. Amen.